Well, I greet you in Jesus' name. I'll start out by answering the question that's, excuse me. Probably on some of your minds, that is, where's Janet? Janet is with Doug and Regina Miller. We had a grandson born early Friday morning. So our plans changed a little bit. We came down on Friday, and Janet has been there ever since. So, and she'll continue to be there for another week or so. So she is on the other side of the mountain. My message for this morning is titled, Where is My Well? And I would just like to say it's been a blessing for me to be here this morning. For the Sunday school, Leon's teaching, I found it fascinating the way he opened up about the Aramaic comment. I know I've heard that discussion for a long time as well. I've probably read over that portion of Acts a number of times. I never connected the dots. And I just love when God does that. You know, all of a sudden, sometime you read over it and the Holy Spirit connects the dots. It's like, well, I read this before, but I didn't see it. So it's been a blessing here with the singing, the praise, the worship, the sharing. I've been encouraged. The scripture for my message is out of John 4, verses 3 through 26. This is a very familiar passage. We know it of as the woman at the well. And I would like to start by saying the woman came to the well to draw water, physical water, but she found water that she didn't intend to draw that was spiritual. Now, there's something else I would like you to know about this, and that is we all have a need for physical water. Without water, we won't live very long. But the other thing we're going to see in this passage of scripture is, like this woman, there is a well that we go to when things aren't going the way I'd like for them to go. There's some place I go to medicate myself when life isn't giving me what I consider good, when it's painful, when it's difficult, when things aren't going my way, there's somewhere I'm going to go. And I'll just say this right up front. Later on today, there's going to be one of those really big altars of idols in America that's going to be celebrated. That could be one of the places I actually might go when I need some medication. And we'll talk about that later. But in case you're missing my point, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And that is, and sports is actually, we say, America don't have any idols. Well, I beg to differ. Today we're going to see that she does. America has some, at least one idol, probably more. And not in my message, but just an observation from looking around. I'm going to open with a story that you may think doesn't have anything to do with the message. I find it actually a little fascinating how yesterday we referred to a similar situation. This afternoon, I was looking through an old Windows laptop that my dad used 7 years ago before he lost his battle with colon cancer. The laptop has been sitting around collecting dust at my mom's house ever since. In a folder named Video Project, oddly placed at the root of the C drive, I found a video file that my dad made about a month before he died that my mom and I had never seen before. In the 15-minute video, my dad talks about my mom and I, how grateful he is to have had the chance to be part of our lives, and how he has no regrets at all about anything in his life. That he is totally at peace. He ends by saying, "I know you two will miss me, but please smile for me because I've lived well. I am okay. I am really okay." John chapter 4, verse 3. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. So, most of you that are familiar, that are Bible students, know that there were multiple ways to get from the point where Jesus was to where he wanted to go. One of them was through Samaria. Or you could go farther out around, and let's just say, for some Jewish people, they chose to go out around because they didn't want to go through Samaria because the Samaritans were despicable. They detested Samaritans. They were heathens, and they hated them. And that might sound like a strong word, but I think it is true. At least for some of them. I have a really hard time in today's culture, for me personally, to think of a group of people that I would feel that way about. But this is the situation that Jesus is in. The reason I'm making that point is I want you to understand that when it says he must needs go through Samaria, that is a divine appointment. Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria. What the writer is conveying here is there was a reason that we're going to see just shortly that Jesus went through Samaria. He then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So we all know, what's the sixth hour? It's noontime, right? Women generally don't come to the water to draw to the well to draw water at noon. They come in the morning and they come in the afternoon. That's just the culture. That's still the culture in those type of countries today. She came at noon. They also generally don't come by themselves. This is a social event for the women. Like, this is where they say, "Hey, did you hear this? So and so and so and so. And how's your day going? How'd your day go? What do you have planned for the day?" So, again, I'm pointing these things out to point out that there's something unique about this woman that Jesus needed to meet in Samaria. She was an outcast. We're going to see in a little bit why she was an outcast, but she was an outcast. She came at noon because she really didn't want to meet up with the other women. Now, I'm inferring a lot of things. I know the scripture don't say that. But it's there if you look and you understand human nature. She came because she didn't really want to come when the other women were there. Now, Jesus, being Jesus, knew this is why he had to go through Samaria. This was the very reason. The other thing is that, well, let's just read a little farther first. Verse 9, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you being a Jew askest the drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So here we see the woman knew who Jesus was. She didn't know who he was technically, but he was a Jew. She was probably flabbergasted that he would have asked her for a drink. And if the disciples would have been here, they would have been flabbergasted as well. Because good Jewish men didn't ask bad Samaritan women for water. They didn't ask them for anything. In fact, they tried to avoid them if at all possible. And the woman immediately recognizes this. Like, what's going on? Why would you ask me for a drink? Because Jews don't deal with Samaritans. They avoid them. And they look down on them. Jesus answered her and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Then the woman saith to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Do you notice something different in her response? There's something that changed. She addresses him, sir. She's beginning to recognize that this is not the average Jewish man. Now, Jesus did tell her, if you know who I am, you would ask of me living water. She goes on to say, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well water springing up to everlasting life. Now, the woman knew something unusual was happening. But she didn't know who she was dealing with because Jesus didn't look all that great. He didn't look like he was anything special. He didn't act in any special way. But he's offering her something that's impossible. Physically, we all know that if we drink of this water, we're going to have to drink again in at least a few hours, or at most a few days, or we're not going to be here. Jesus is making a statement that is physically not possible from the reference point of physical water. But he don't look like an angel. He don't look like anything special. But she's beginning to understand that the water he's referring to is not the actual water that they're drawing from the well. The woman saith unto him, verse 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She still didn't get it. She thought he was talking about that water. Something out of the ordinary, but that water. Verse 16 is a turning point. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Now she knew that he's not talking about physical water. Because she'd never met Jesus before. He didn't live in the town. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. Now I'm going to keep going, and then we're going to come back to that. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. She immediately knew that she was dealing with somebody that wasn't the ordinary person, not the ordinary Jew. And she immediately knew that because he asked about her husbands, that Jesus was going to address something spiritual. But she wasn't very comfortable with that. In verse 20, she says, Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. See, she's changing the subject. She's deferring the subject to something that she's more comfortable with. All of a sudden, she don't really want the living water that he offered, that she asked for. Why? Because Jesus had touched her well. Jesus had touched the well, and in this case, this woman's well was men. She answered Jesus honestly when she said she didn't have a husband. She didn't tell him that she had five, though. He told her. He said, you had a husband, he didn't satisfy you. He didn't meet your needs. And you got another one, and another one. And none of those men satisfied your needs. Men was her well. And he said, and I'm just paraphrasing it into our language, the guy you're shacked up with now, he's not doing it either. He's still not satisfying your need. And she said, well, let's talk about religion. Let's talk about where we should go to church. And Jesus is going to lead her on here. Jesus' response is, verse 21, Jesus saith to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye know not what ye worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. We talked about that in Sunday school. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man saith, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman left her water pot and went into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? I don't know if the entire conversation is recorded here, and it doesn't really matter. Because we see the result. But somewhere in that conversation, the woman recognized what Christ was offering her was freedom from what she was medicating herself with. It don't say that. That's not in the text. But she left her water pot and she went to the city and said, come see this man that I met. Now, I want to make spiritual application about that. If we really want Christ to be our well, we're going to have to leave our water pot, just like she did. She didn't care about the physical water anymore. She didn't care about anything. She didn't even really care about her pain because she found Christ. Now, we need to understand this. And I understand we're all Christians, and I understand this is church. But it is still possible for me and for you to have something other than Christ. That's my medication. It is very, very possible. And it could be idolatry. It could be sports. It could be sex. It could be my job. It could be my role. It could even be the fact that I'm a minister. How I know what it is when I leave it or it's taken away, I really, really feel intense pain. Because it's where I run to when I feel pain. And unless, brothers and sisters, unless it's Christ, we're going to be right like this woman. She tried 5 different wells. She was thirsty as she was before. In fact, she was thirstier and more desperate than she was before because they didn't satisfy. She spent, I don't know how long the time was. Again, I said, I don't know if the whole conversation's recorded. She spent a short amount of time with Christ, and she found relief. She got the living water. And you might say, well, how do you know? How do you know, Jason, that she accepted the living water? Well, let's just read a little farther. The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, it's very interesting, she didn't tell the women. Do you catch that? She told the men, come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then went they out of the city and came unto him. Something had changed about this woman. They wanted to see. You know, when Jesus talks about well of living water welling up in us, that it overflows, this is what happens. When that happens, this is what happens. Other people want to see what's it all about. What happened to Jason? What's different about him? How can I get that? I'm going to leave that there, but we're going to come back to that. His disciples come back. Remember, they went to get food. So I'm picking up in verse 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Wherefore, said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are already white to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Jesus' meat here that he referred to was not physical meat. It was what happened with the woman at the well. His disciples were baffled because nobody had come back. The woman hadn't brought anything. She had an empty water pot. But Jesus' meat, his fulfillment, was in reaching that woman. Now, I also find it interesting, and you could take the verse about the fields being white to harvest a number of different ways. But one of the ways I'd like to take it in the context of this setting is the disciples didn't consider the Samaritans a field that are white to harvest. If you would ask the disciples if anybody in this town could receive Christ and be saved, and I recognize we're on the other side of Calvary, but I'll just use our terminology, they would have probably told you you're crazy. They're Samaritans. They're despicable. Samaritans saved? Well, let's look what happened. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him and saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came out unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. We know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. He stayed there 2 days. And it don't say how many people came to the Lord, but a lot. And they were all Samaritans. There's this huge Christ, God-sized, Christ-sized, whatever terminology you want to use, hole in every human being's heart. And we have a desire to fill it with something. It should be filled with something. It's there as a result of the fall. However, when we want to fill it with Christ, we have to do it on his terms. So, like this woman, we may find ourselves trying to fill it with something else. But there isn't anything else, including 5 men, that can fill a Christ-sized hole in our heart. Only Christ can fill that hole. And only he can bring me the comfort I need when I'm looking for something to medicate what I don't think I can endure. Everything else that I try will result in the same outcome as this woman had. This woman received that hole filled. Her testimony and her response caused other people to see that hole filled. There's a few questions I'd like to ask about this, just because Jason is inquisitive. I wonder if her husband's came. Like, it don't tell us that. Like, I'm inquisitive. Like, did her husbands come? The men of the town came out to see Christ. I don't know. What we know is that many people accepted Christ. That's what we know. And some of the harvest was gathered in, even though it didn't look like they were at a place where there should have been a harvest. And Christ didn't look that awesome. His looks didn't change from the time she first saw him to now. But the effects of him on her life changed drastically. And he became awesome to her. In fact, he became everything to her and others. If you're here this morning, and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about maybe something that might be in your life, that you're medicating with, that Christ isn't really your well, and because of that, you're can't be a well of living water springing up. And we can't. The only way we can be a well of living water springing up that brings others to Christ is to be filled with Christ. If we're not filled with Christ, we won't have the living water welling out of us. If we're medicating with something else, we won't have the living water welling out of us. In fact, we might actually be like this woman, where we're somewhat of an outcast. People don't even really want to be around us. Or maybe you're like that father in the story. Maybe you'd like to be able to say your testimony to be his testimony when you get to the end of your life. It's okay. It's really okay. Smile for me. It's okay. You know, we can only say that when Christ is our well. The only way we can say that with any amount of confidence is when Christ is our well. And out of that, the people that experience that, even though, and we talked about this yesterday, the grief and the pain, even out of that grief and the pain, there's this well of medicating water that flows from Christ that helps me deal with that grief and pain. So back to, if you find yourself that you're not at that place, or maybe you aren't totally down the path where the woman was, but you recognize that, you know, Christ is here. I've put some other things in here because I'm not quite ready to give it all to him. I'll use these other things sometimes to mitigate the pain. But if you really don't want to be there this morning, if you really want the living water, that you can be a well of living water, it's really easy. It just takes 5 words. Just 5 words from our heart. They're simply this: Sir, give me this water. That's all she did. All she did, and again, I don't know that it's all recorded, is she said, Sir, give me this water. He showed her the conditions, that it wasn't without strings attached, I'll just say it that way. And she obviously accepted it, because we have the rest of the story to show us how she responded. We don't see her asking again after she understood. She only asked that one time that we see, but we see that she asked from her heart. And Christ responded on that basis, and she received it because she became a well of living water that infected a whole town. Others caught it as well. So if that's where you find yourself this morning, bring your husbands, give them to Christ, ask for the living water, and it'll change your life as much as it changed hers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be gathered again as brothers and sisters, part of your body. Thank you for the freedom that we're gathered under, the beautiful day, the many blessings that you poured out on us for us to enjoy this day. But most of all, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your work on the cross. Thank you for being that well that we can all tap into, the well that knows no limit, no end, that if all the world taps into that well of living water, there'll be more than needed, that we all become wells of living water. Thank you for your work on the cross, for our sins that allow us the opportunity to do that. Thank you for being the place that we can run to when life is difficult, when it's hard, when we experience those things that are painful. Thank you for being the source that is ever there, ever understanding, ever overflowing, that meets all our needs. Lord, as we go from here, may we be like that woman, people that are living water, that draw others to you. May we go out into the harvest and draw others to you. Father, I pray that you would give us safety as we leave here. I pray that you would guide us and direct us, give us opportunity, and through the Holy Spirit, enable us to fulfill those opportunities to your honor and to your glory. Pray yet, too, for the food that's been prepared. Father, thank you again for the abundance. We are so blessed with variety and abundance. Thank you. We recognize that it comes from your hand. Bless that. Bless this food to our bodies, that we may use it for nourishment. Bless our time together as we fellowship, that we may emotionally and spiritually nourish each other as well. And Father, again, as we go from here, use us as your men and your women in the work of your kingdom for your honor and your glory. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Could we stand and have a closing verse of song, and then I will dismiss us.